In regards to VBS, Thursday night, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Friday night, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. If you can be here, that would show that you're supporting us. Even if you can't bring children. However, we want you to bring kids. And you say, well, how can I do that? I'm looking for something on my phone here that I have to use later. This is what I do, and I know everybody's different. I mean, some of you've got kids, so bring them, right? Try to be here and be supportive and bring the kids, okay? Now, maybe your kids know other kids in the neighborhood, and maybe you could have them, or you could go with them and ask parents if their children could come. Or maybe you're a grandparent, and you've got grandkids, like I do. You can bring some of those grandchildren, possibly, if you ask, you know. And maybe you're a grandparent without grandchildren. Well, you want to encourage your kids to have kids so you'll have grandchildren for VBS. So, anyways, there's different ways. Being in this location, obviously, we've tried many times to get people out from the neighborhood. And usually in the carnival, we do a lot better, which is Saturday at 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, the carnival. And that's when we have the games in the bouncy house and some pony rides, real ponies. So kind of put that out there to encourage the kids to come from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock Saturday. So look forward to seeing you all. If you would turn in your Bibles again to Colossians chapter 3. Again, these two verses here are a big part of what I've been speaking on, and that is having a happy marriage in the Lord, or the marriage that God wants us to have in the Lord. So Colossians chapter 3, and do you have that, Tom? Verses, I think it's 18 and 19.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them.
Now that might sound like, wow, that's ancient history. God's word is just as relevant today as it was when it was first written. And you might say, wow, you know, this is really strange. Now, a wife submitting to her husband, it's a thought of reverence. It's a thought of respect. And what man wouldn't want that in his marriage? And then with the husband, we say, we've gone over this before, but just to kind of bring things together here. You know, husbands, love your wives. And I still am amazed at the fact that at least twice in the Bible, husbands are commanded to love their wives. And at least twice in the Bible, wives are commanded to submit or show reverence or respect to their husbands. Now, what interests me is, why doesn't God say, you wives, love your husbands? Well, a couple of things come to mind. Number one, the man is responsible for the family. So God speaks to the head in the family. And he says, look, you love your wife. And then he turns to the woman and he says, assuming though, that a husband is going to do as he's told, as he's commanded, that the husband is going to love his wife, he says to the wife, you reverence your husband. Those aren't options. Those aren't, you know, if you feel like it today, go ahead and love your wife. And if you don't feel like it tomorrow, if you feel she's been misbehaving or she's not coming up to your standards, or she said some things to you that just aren't right, well, you just go ahead and don't love her today. You know, this love thing is solid. It's continuous. And it's to be endless until death or the Lord comes. So it's not an option. It's not an option. If you got married, you stood before a whole group of people and you took vows and you said, I'll love my wife. I'll love her in sickness and in health, in good or bad, in all kinds of different situations. I will love her. You said that before a whole bunch of people. And then the time comes in your marriage, and you know, when you're first married, things are always, wow, it's fantastic. You know, I got a beautiful wife here now, and she loves me, I love her, and you know, the honeymoon was over a couple months ago, and I'm starting to notice a couple little things here and there, but you know, it's great, marriage is great. And then arguments come in, you know, disagreements. Well, things come in that I wish you'd clean the house a little better. My mother did. The last thing your wife wants to hear is what your mother did. But we have a tendency to do that, don't we? My mother didn't cook like this. Well, your wife maybe doesn't have the experience your mother had. Or maybe you're a fortunate one and you say, wow, she can cook better than my mother. I don't know. But there's certain things you say and don't say. There's certain ways to approach things. There's certain ways and times to say things. Like if your husband comes home from work, and boy, I'm not even focused here yet, sorry. But these are things that are so relevant to us. Several times, lots of times, numerous numbers, I can't even count how many times I would come home from work. I'm frustrated. Things didn't go right. And my wife says, guess what? The car broke down today, and this went wrong at the house, and why didn't you call me until you were on your way home? All of a sudden, all my frustrations come out on her. Had nothing to do with her. But all my frustrations and all my pain and all the anger or difficulties I had at work with different people or different situations, all of a sudden, we're in a full-fledged argument. World War III, maybe not quite that bad. Or you come home from work and you're thinking, wow, I've worked so hard, I'm looking forward to a good meal and a clean house, kids that are sitting there waiting for me. Those are rarities. Not for everybody, but those are rarities. And you come home and the house is a wreck and the kids are screaming and they look like they didn't do anything all day, and I don't know how many times, and this is why I can say these things. I don't know how many times I've said to my wife, what did you do today? Wrong. Wrong answer. You don't do those things. You have to learn how to communicate. You have to learn how to get along. You have to learn to not argue, to not fight. We must all learn to say the right things at the right time in the right way. And God says, husbands, love your wives. And I don't see any prerequisites there. I don't see any parentheses that says, as long as she's keeping the house clean, as long as everything's fine when you get home. Your love for your wife should never sway. Now, you say, I'm struggling to love my wife. There may be some things that your wife could do better. There may be some things that your wife could say better. There may be a lot of things that you feel your wife could help out with and change your attitude. But I'm going to tell you this. If you are struggling to love your wife, then you need to get on your knees before God and ask Him to give you a heart of nothing but love for that wife God gave you. There are times in each one of our lives that we feel like, oh boy, I don't know if I can make it through this. There are times that we might think, you know, I know God says love my wife, but I'm really having a hard time. We need to get before God and love our wives. Or you're not going to make it. You won't make it in your marriage. It's guaranteed. You say, how do you know it's guaranteed? Because the Word of God tells me. Well, where does it say that in the Word of God? I need somebody to read... let's see if I can find it here in my notes. Because I'm kind of jumping around. It's in the book of Mark, chapter 3, and verse 25. Maybe Brother Leslie, would you read that? Mark chapter 3 and verse 25. And then, let's see, who else? Tim. Tim, would you look up Luke chapter 11 and verse 17?
Mark 3:25. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand.
Absolutely. Luke chapter 11, verse 17.
But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls.
Yeah. You see, when we as husbands don't love our wives, God says it's divided. When our wives don't show reverence or respect to the husbands, our house is divided. When we looked at, I think it was, I'm not sure, 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, it talked about a single person can live and please the Lord. But a person who's married now has to live and please the Lord and please their spouse. If a husband doesn't love his wife and there's turmoil in the home, God guarantees from His Word, unless that situation gets straightened up, unless that heart gets changed, unless we as men get before God and say, Lord, I want to love my wife more than any other human being on the face of this earth. And unless our wives, you women, get before God and say, Lord, help me to respect. Help me to submit as is fitting in the Lord. Help me to reverence my husband as God wants me to. Our houses are going to fall. Our families are going to divide. And we don't want that. We do not want that. And you know what? Not only do we not want that, God doesn't want it. God didn't bring us together in marriage as couples so that we would fail, so that our houses would fall, so that our families would be divided. He brought us together for several reasons. I was going to shout out one reason, but there's several reasons. And one is, right from the beginning, in Genesis, to complement each other, to help each other. The woman was given as a bride to her husband, as a helpmeet. Why? Because sometimes we guys think we don't need help. And you know what? God says, oh, you need a lot more help than you realize. And so He brought a woman in. And then another reason is, He wants us to have children. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Now, if you don't have children, I'm not saying that, you know, you're outside of the mind of God. But God's intention is to go forth and multiply. And God says to have godly children. That your children might be godly. That they might know Him. That they might know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That they might be in heaven for all eternity with Him. And you say to yourself, well, you know, if I can just get there on my own and live the good life, and if my marriage is pretty good, I'll probably get to heaven. I want to tell you something. That's not what God says in His Word. His Word is very clear. We must accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to get to heaven. If we're going to have a godly home, Jesus Christ must be the center of our home. Must be the center of our affections. He must have first place. And after Christ, after God, in our hearts, our wives, our spouses, our husbands need to have the very next place in order for us to have a godly marriage and a godly home. Would somebody read Philippians chapter 2? Let's see. Brother Jameson, would you read that? Philippians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 3. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Okay, could you read that again, only louder?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Even if you have to scream.
Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but the humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves.
Right. Now, just in case you didn't hear that, see, some people are upset and they're leaving. See you later. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you, verse 4 says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And he goes on to talk about the humility of Christ and how he came and sacrificed himself. But you know, sometimes in a marriage, and I know these words in particular, God doesn't say, this is how you act in marriage. But you know what? These words apply to a marriage relationship. They apply to any relationship, but they especially apply to a marriage relationship. And sometimes I know in my past, and again, so I'm relating, unfortunately, and this is another reason why I'm taking up this subject, because there were so many things in my past that I needed help with and I didn't get the help. Hopefully these things are going to be a help. There were times in my past that I didn't make my wife my partner. I made her my competition. I wanted to do anything I could better than her. And sometimes I would put her down in front of people thinking I'm making myself look better. And all I was doing was making myself look foolish and being very immature. It was absolutely wrong to do that. I know that now. Back then, I did that a lot. And so there was selfish ambition. There was vanity. But God says, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Now, in a marriage relationship, do we do that? Why is it when we first get married, we have a lot of love and respect for each other? And as time goes on, the humility in our lives towards each other gets less and less and less, and all of a sudden it's like, she needs to listen to me. She should do what I tell her. I'm the boss of this house. What happened to humility? What happened to esteeming others better than yourselves? Now, I can personally vouch that my wife taught me a lot about the scriptures. I was newly saved. I hardly knew anything. I would ask her, what'd you hear about preach about this subject? And what'd you hear about preach about this subject? And then men would start asking me to talk once in a while, tell how I got saved. And boy, you get so nervous, you start sweating, you know, a week before you have to speak. And I'd speak for 5 minutes just telling them how I got saved. And I'd probably didn't even get things in the right order, and maybe I still do that sometimes. But my wife was a tremendous help to me. She was a spiritual teacher to me, and you know, after a while, you get to the point, well, you know, I think we've leveled out the playing ground here, and then a little further down the road, you know, don't you know anything about the scriptures, honey? It's like, hold on a second, she was the one who taught you, you know. You get lifted up with pride. And we start talking to our spouses down instead of equally or up, taking the lower place. We have a tendency to do that. And then we might say a smart remark to them. And next thing you know, My wife treated it this way. She's not here today. She wouldn't speak to me. Which was probably a good thing. Saved a lot of arguments. You see, when I first got married, I thought the husband was the head and therefore he was to rule. Wish somebody had to kick me at that point, but they didn't. And when we had kids, this is what I expected from my kids. Now you can see things have changed a little bit. Obedience was to be immediate. And correction was to be a first response, not a last resort. Now, let me say something, parents. Those things are good. To a certain point. Number one, you love your wife. Treat her with respect. You want respect? Treat her with respect. Show her respect. Speak to her kindly. Speak to her nicely. You want your children to be obedient to you? Let me give you an example. This might sound really far-fetched, okay? I have some horses. Now, I know you can't say horses and kids are the same, but there's a very important lesson to be learned. I went to see Lou Sterrett, who is a horse trainer at the Knox County Fairgrounds. And he was able to get this horse to do things from nothing, because it wasn't a very well-trained horse, to doing a lot of things. But he would explain, even though this horse is doing these things, that horse is rebellious. Even though it's doing what I'm asking, it's still rebellious. Because if you look at a horse and their communications, an ear has to come forward to show that, hey, I'm willing to negotiate here. And then their nose starts turning towards you and they start licking and chewing and they're saying, okay, now I want to submit. I want to do what you want. You see, a horse, you can get a horse to do some things, but it doesn't mean it's submitted. Lou Sterrett said this, and I went home and I had to talk to one of my kids. She was 16 years old. And I said the very thing that Lou Sterrett said. It's one thing to get that horse to obey you. It's another thing to have that horse give you its heart. You need to gain the heart of that child for Christ. Obedience doesn't mean you have its heart. Demanding obedience and demanding respect, you will never win the heart. We need to win the heart of our wives. Our wives need to win the hearts of our husbands. So we can have confidence in each other. And together we can raise the children, winning the heart of that child. Knowing that they love us. You see, when my kids were little, problems weren't very, very much. But as they got older and started thinking on their own, they said, hey, you know what? I know Dad said that, but I don't agree with it. And then not only did they not agree with it, then they started to be obstinate about it. And then they start to disrespect you. And they start to disagree with you, even in front of their friends sometimes. And there's a lot of difficulties there. But I found this, when I won the heart of my daughter, things changed. Her attitude changed. Her desire to please me changed. Her desire to do what I asked her to do changed. Love. The greatest of all of this is love. Is there love in your home? You say, yeah, there's love in our home. We love each other. Do we see it? Does your spouse see the love that you have for her? Do your children see the love that that you have for your wife? Do your children see the love that you have for your husband? Do you kids love your mom and dad? And say, yeah, I learned that from them. Do you kids love your brothers and sisters? Your cousins? Because you've seen love in the home. Well, I can't find this thing. You know, I had it on my phone earlier. And that's what I get. Let's just try one more thing here. This was, here it is. Thank you, Lord. Somebody put this on Facebook, and you might have seen it this week. There's quite a few good things, actually, about love and kindness on Facebook. Do I get on Facebook all the time? No. I was having problems with my phone, and I got on Facebook and found something there. Anyways. Husbands. It's not even quoted properly, the first part, but it's close. Husbands, love your wives well. You are teaching your sons how they should treat women. You are teaching your daughters what they should expect from men. I saw that and I thought, wow.
Hallelujah.
That's fantastic. Do my children know that I love my wife? Do your children, men, boyfriends, sorry, Silas. Do the women in your life, your spouses, future spouses, girlfriends, do they know that you love them because of your actions and because of your respectful words? Women, wives, girlfriends, brothers and sisters, do the boys and the men know that you love them because of your actions and how you respond and the things that you say and how you handle yourself with them? Do your children, those of you who are married and have children, or have children, period, do your children know that you really love their mother? Do your children know that mom really loves dad? Are your children learning? Wow, this is how you treat a woman. I hope I'm as good as dad. Or are they learning, that's how you treat women? I hope I never do that. The same with the daughters. Are they learning, wow, this is how a man treats his wife. I can't wait till I'm older and get married. Or are they saying, I can't stand it. I never want to get married. There's a verse I wanted to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Rick, would you read it for us? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to turn to it too, just in case Rick's version is way out in left field. It's not what I want to hear.
Hey, what is it? The verse what?
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9.
Okay. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him.
Okay. Glad I turned to my Bible. A little different. What version is that?
King James.
King James? Okay. Well, actually, I have the King James here too, but I wasn't looking at that. This is what the NIV says. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home or away from it. Now, I excluded a couple words. So we make it our goal to please Him whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Now, I want to apply that to reality living today. Okay? We make it our goal to please Him whether we're at home in the body, parenthesis, or away from it. My home life, my family life, when nobody else sees but God, and my wife, and my kids, am I pleasing God? Do I please God in my home? Do I? Only I can answer for me. Only you can answer for you. Do you please God in your home with your family? Now, you might think, I'm talking to the men. I want you to know, I'm talking to every single person that's in a family. When you're in the home, whether you're a child, a spouse, or maybe a visiting grandparent, do you please God in the home? Do you? How much time do you take for God? I said something to my wife the other day. I'm thinking to myself and I'm speaking out loud about something. You know, this subject is so great. It's gone far beyond what I thought the parameters of marriage would be. Okay? And you say, you've been up there a lot, Bob, and you've talked a lot about marriage. And you want to know something? There's so much more. And I said to my wife yesterday, I said to her, you know, if it takes a long time to do this marriage thing, it's better to do it well and take the time to do it so we learn than to rush through it. Don't you think, honey? I don't know. Maybe you should cut it short. And so we talked about that. I said, I think it's better to learn what God wants us to learn, whether it takes us 1 week, 10 weeks, or a year. It's better to hear God's word and find out what He wants so that I can apply it in my life, so that I can be a better husband, so that I can be a better father. You might say, well, your kids are grown. Absolutely. And you know what? I still need to be a better father. And a better grandfather. Now, you can see from this little guy here, I love my grandchildren magnanimously. And I do treat them a little different. Fun, with a happy face, not a sad face. I do treat them a little differently than my own children, because I don't have to be the disciplinarian. I just want to teach them the ways of God. It's not my job to discipline them all the time. I send them home to mom and dad. It's a lot easier. But I love them, and I pray for them all the time. And the biggest thing that I pray for them all is that they'll all come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the foundation. They have to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. From there, they can learn how to live, what God wants them to do, what God wants them to think, what God wants them to say, where He wants them to go. Now, do I teach some other things besides just salvation through Jesus Christ? Absolutely. In hopes that one day when they accept Jesus Christ, they'll have a great foundation from the Word of God already, knowing how they should live, wanting to please God. That is our goal. When we're married, we please God, and we please our spouse. Heavenly Father, we thank You for our marriages. We thank You for our spouses. And if there's things that each one of us need to learn from You, Lord, help us to hear Your voice. Help us to know what we are to do in our relationships. Help us, Lord, if there's things in our lives that we need to change, that You might touch our hearts, that we will change, that we'll have a desire to change, that our greatest desire would be to please You in everything Your Word says, that we might please our spouse that You've given us. Help us to show love. Help us to manifest love and kindness and humility in the home, that our children will see how a marriage is to be God-honoring, enjoyable. Lord, we pray that our children will all come to know Christ and have a desire to please you most of all. Watch over us today. We pray for a blessing upon the VBS and the children that come. Help the speakers. We pray for the carnival that all will go well. We ask, Lord, that there might be visitors that would come, children, and what a joy it would be to see someone brought to Christ. We look to you for blessing now and safety in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
It was flashing, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't flashing. I pushed the button.
Was it just recording now? No, it stopped.
Okay.
Sorry.